Last October, my friend Gabe told me about a concert at the University of North Texas. The Jazz Repertory Ensemble was performing the music of a Brazilian composer, Hermeto Pascoal. I'd never heard of Pascoal, but Gabe generally knows what he's talking about, so I went to see the concert. Along with the college group, Pascoal's longtime pianist and collaborator, Jovino Santos Neto, was featured as guest performer. The concert really knocked my socks off. The music was unusual, happy, very complex. And when Santos Neto spoke of Pascoal, I could tell that he felt a sense of awe about the man. Well, after the concert, I wanted to know more about this man who's been called a musical mystic. So I contacted John Murphy, who conducted and played on the concert. Murphy is an ethnomusicologist who specializes in Brazilian music. He also directs the Jazz Repertory Ensemble at the University of North Texas.
Hermeto Pascoal was born in 1936 in northeast Brazil in a small town called Lagoa da Canoa, and he's an albino. He's from a large family, a musical family, a family that helped him develop a very deep affection for nature. They lived in town, they spent time out in the forest. He's very attached to animals of all kinds, birds, and these sounds enter into his music. He's a very gregarious, friendly, outgoing person. He became a professional musician by going to the nearest state capital that had a big music scene, and that would be Recife, Pernambuco, capital of Pernambuco State. Played on the radio there, eventually moved to Rio, which was the center of the music business, still is in many ways, and became a busy player on the radio. He played accordion, keyboards, and eventually learned to play many instruments, including some uncommon objects that he uses as musical instruments, like a teakettle. So he's played as a professional all sorts of music. All sorts of Brazilian music, choro, samba, baião, bossa nova. Very well acquainted with jazz and American popular music in general. And he collaborated with Miles Davis around 1970, and some of his pieces, as well as his playing, can be heard on the Live Evil recording. One of those pieces, Jovino Santos Neto, played as a piano solo on the concert called Nem um Talvez, Not Even a Maybe.
This recording actually comes from the concert that I went to. It's Jovino Santos Neto playing Pascoal's Not Even a Maybe. Santos Neto is a formidable musician in his own right.
He still collaborates with Hermeto, and he was his keyboardist for 15 years, starting in the 70s. And then in the early 90s, he moved to Seattle, first to study at the Cornish School of the Arts, and then very soon after that began teaching there. So he's based in Seattle, has his own group, and when Hermeto tours, he often goes and conducts the big band and helps him translate and interact with the musicians. So he still collaborates with him closely, and he publishes his music. He published this book of lead sheets.
Now, that bumping sound you hear is John Murphy handing me a large book. It turns out that when Pascoal turned 60, he gave himself a present. Now, what do you give yourself when you're a prolific musical genius? Well, Pascoal wrote a song a day for himself. The book was filled with Xeroxes of Pascoal's handwritten music. 365 pieces of complete music, one for each day of his 60th year. These weren't just sketches, but fully realized compositions, complex and widely varied works. I was floored by the sheer volume of it.
He's someone who kind of drips music. In fact, in the late 80s, I was in a nightclub in São Paulo hearing someone else. It's a little coffee house type place. And on the white wall, you could see where Hermeto had visited and pulled out a black marker and kind of commemorated his visit by quickly drawing some staves and writing some music right then and signing it. where a lot of other celebrities would just sign their name. And I think one of the reasons why the musicians who play with him and lots of other people in Brazil hold him in such awe and give him such respect is that he's just been tremendously productive, hundreds if not thousands of tunes. He's also very independent. And while he has released some things on major labels, he now records on independent labels and has pretty much complete control over what he does artistically and in a business sense. He's very open to the potential musicality of any sound, kind of like John Cage. In a recent interview, he said, "If I was walking down the street and stubbed my toe on a rock and it made an interesting sound, I would take that rock home and try to make music with it." So he's written instrumental music based on imitating the sounds of animals, the sounds of birds, the sounds of water. He's used found objects like a tea kettle or bottles filled with water or aluminum tubes stamped on cinder blocks, things like that. A pig even. Put a little white pig under his arm to make a certain kind of squeal. In fact, he was going to do a tour of Japan, and the health authorities wouldn't let him bring a Brazilian pig to Japan. They said, "Why don't you use a Japanese pig?" And he says, "I can't, because they're out of tune." Very into nature, and his tune titles refer to nature, and he's also very tuned into the way we sing to each other all day, the way the pitch of our voices go up and down. He's set to music a very musical excerpt of a soccer announcer.
Here's another recording from the UNT concert featuring Santos Neto on melodica. Scores are very dense. I think like Zappa, he's a maximalist. He remarks that he doesn't like to see a lot of unused space in the scores.
But it would be very typical to have a repeated section that builds in layers up to a very busy and stratified texture. Seems to attract nicknames like O Bruxo, the sorcerer. part of that regarding every sound as potentially music, he's labeled as o som da aura, the sound of the aura. Now, it's not something that I understand fully enough to be able to talk about knowledgeably on the radio, but I think it has to do with everything being musical in some way, even a person. I mean, he has plenty of tunes that are dedicated to a person or inspired by a person. We did one that's dedicated to Gil Evans. So I think that whole musicality of his world can have a kind of mystical impact on people. It kind of changes their way of being aware of sound in a way that they find mystical. One of the things I try to do in this ensemble is not only play classic jazz, it's the jazz repertory ensemble, but also to choose music that the students might not otherwise get a chance to play in the regular lab bands that has something different or challenging about it, something that would be good to spend the semester rehearsing. And this aspect of it, the denseness of it, is something different from the typical big band writing that most of the students are encountering, where you might have a strong melody, a strong bass line, and some chordal filling in between. In his music, it's almost the norm to have a lot of different lines at once. It took some time for us to work out the balance and the ability to play one part while listening for five other ones. The students did a tremendous job with this, the instrumentalist, and we had an excellent vocalist with the ensemble named Sarah Renfro, who sang the wordless vocals that often double an instrumental line. She also did some solos, but that sound of a wordless vocal doubling, let's say a lead trumpet or lead alto line, is an important part of his style, both in the small group writing and in the big band writing. I brought along one prop that is decent for radio, and that is a coconut for his song Jegi, which is based on the stiff-legged gait of a donkey, where the musicians are instructed to play the two halves of a coconut. And this is why we needed a guest artist, because we got some coconuts from Walmart, we sawed them in half, and we were playing the large circular ends. Our guest artist explained that we should turn them around so that the two rounded ends see what a difference in sound that makes? I got to thinking about that, and this whole idea of using found objects, the stuff around you. I don't want to leave listeners with the sense that we admire this crazy Brazilian composer because he does these wonderful things that nobody else could do. I think, personally, that one of the functions of art is to stimulate the creativity of every person who listens to it or looks at it, to stimulate you to think, I could go home and I could make a piece of music or use an object to make art with. I think the purpose of art is to get the person who views it or watches it thinking more artistically about their own life. And so I think the things that he does are marvelous, and they're things that we could all do. Not necessarily compose and put notes on paper, but just be kind of awake to sounds in our environment. This could be why he's considered kind of a mystic, because an encounter with his music and his kind of free-ranging creativity tends to wake people up to unsuspected possibilities in their own lives, whether they're artists or not.
Hermeto Pascual is still alive and writing and touring. He'll be in America this year. Jovino Santos Neto also has produced a documentary on Hermeto Pascual in Portuguese with English subtitles. For information on when it will be shown, go to www.music.unt.edu/jazz. Thanks to John Murphy, the Music School at the University of North Texas, and Jovino Santos Neto. This program was produced for KERA FM 90.1, Dallas-Fort Worth, Denton.